GCNminerals.com.
Is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
You've got Bradley Dean and Jake McMillan here with the Sons of Liberty. First off, if you would like to know who we are, please go to sonsoflibertyradio.com. That's sonsoflibertyradio.com. And find out who we are, what we do, and if you really want to know, what we look like. On our website, you can also view our mission, letters from famous people who like us, and of course, a few who don't. Also available are General of God tidbits, as well as lots of links. And check out our online store for lots of cool stuff. Please also feel free to contact our office for more information on the ministry. Our phone number is 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. If you would like to download this radio program's podcast, they are available at sonsoflibertyradio.com. That's sonsoflibertyradio.com. If you'd like to receive our weekly radio updates via email, you'll be informed ahead of time who we will be having on as a special guest and what topics we'll be discussing that week. Please contact us through sonsoflibertyradio.com. Again, if you'd like to get a hold of us, please call 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747.
Welcome to the Sons of Liberty, folks. Happy Wednesday. It's been a good week thus far. We're taking ground all over this country. The concepts of liberty are alive again. That fire is spreading. There is a flame, but there's also a coal. And as we established yesterday, that coal that keeps our flame, that keeps our fire penetrating, is the Spirit of Christ. It's the Spirit of God in our laws. It's the Spirit of God in our nation. It's the morality, the Spirit of God in our morality that makes us great. The Bible addresses all issues that are facing us today in this nation. And if we don't acknowledge that as the foundation, if we merely, as I discussed yesterday, you can find the Twitter at ConstitutionJM, if our conversation is more about what is wrong than what is right, then we are affecting nothing. Maybe ourselves. Maybe it does us good to talk about all these bad things. Maybe it does us good to talk about how bad it is and that we know that it's wrong. But it doesn't do society good. It could do you that good personally. You could feel good about yourselves. We have a Constitution class here at the Sons of Liberty that we teach. We're instructing the next generation and we're instructing generations in the past in what our law is. Where does law come from? What does our Constitution say so we can uphold it? We the people, it starts out in the preamble of the Constitution. In order to, it's we the people. We've established it, so we the people better know what it says. Or we may be duped by slick talkers, mainly lawyers and judges, into not even understanding and knowing that our place and our position in this nation is to be vigilant. We are the gatekeepers. We watch. We keep a watch. The book of Ezekiel talks about what is our job as watchmen on the walls. If we see an enemy invading, and we don't say anything, we don't warn the city will die and their blood will be upon our head. The city will be judged, because ultimately it's God's wrath, but the blood of that city will be upon our head because we saw and we did nothing. What I said to the class last night is, how many of you have applied these principles this week? How many of you have a story? Some of them come back and have written a letter to the editor, and that's great. It's a good start. It's getting active. One of them filed a complaint to the state fair here in Minnesota for one of the mosaics that they had of a certain presidential candidate that's from this state. It was very disrespectful. It had nothing to do with free speech. It was just slanderous. So they're starting to step up in courage as they are filled with truth. As you're filled with truth, now when the lie comes on, you're not afraid to confront it because you know where your feet stand and you know what's right. You'll notice oftentimes your kids will reprove you or correct you because they don't understand how to compromise. All they understand is what truth is. And that truth better be what you've taught them because that's what they'll learn. And as we discussed yesterday, when you have two lesbian parents raising a young boy, he might end up thinking that he wants to be a woman because he wasn't trained the correct way. Because he was trained in the context of Romans 1 by a reprobate mind that sought not judgment and justice. I don't want to get onto yesterday's show, but I think it proved the point. Our basis has to be that Word of God. We're going to have a guest with us today, Mr. Gary Kreep. That's K-R-E-E-P. Obamacare. We've talked about and discussed that a number of times. Obamacare is unconstitutional. There's no justification. Article 1, Section 8. We talked about yesterday, even in the Constitution course. You can find information on that at sonsoflibertyradio.com. We talked about the Hegelian dialectic. The thesis, the antithesis, the antithesis, and the synthesis. Three-step process. In our country right now, the thesis is Article 1, Section 8, or I should say was in the past. Article 1, Section 8. It gives the areas and the realms where the government is authorized to tax and spend and to provide for the general welfare, etc. It shows you, literally, line item, this is what it can and can't do. Read it. Article 1, Section 8. It's very powerful. Learn that. That's the thesis. That's what is. The antithesis, the antithesis. Somebody comes along and says, well, look at all the people dying, all the old people not covered by health care. Look at what's going on. There's pandemonium. So the antithesis says the government should provide for all health care. Now you have a confliction. So what has to happen is a compromise. The thesis now, for some reason, even though it's a fixed standard, must compromise with the antithesis, the antithesis. And then we create a synthesis, which becomes Medicare. And that synthesis now becomes our new thesis, our new reality. That's what's happening, folks. George Frederick Hegel, the Hegelian dialectic. So now we have Medicare. Nobody would dare say that that's unconstitutional because that's our new thesis. Now we have an antithesis. We need more federal control over health care because health care has become a right, an individual right, guaranteed, I guess, by the Bill of Rights. I have no idea. They don't want to say it's from God. So now you have an antithesis and a thesis, but the problem is we're starting off on the wrong foot. We're not anchored. It's like the analogy I gave. I was screwing in a cabinet into my bathroom. I had no footing. I was standing on the toilet. I had no footing, no pressure to push that screw into the beam. And because I had no foundation, you're going to have a fallen cabinet, or at best, a half cracked cabinet that's eventually going to fall, and that's all that we have right now. Our foot forward, our thesis has to be Article 1, Section 8 in Obamacare, and we're going to have Mr. Gary Kreep on at 2:30 Central Time on the third segment here. Third segment. We'll be right back for another segment with the Sons of Liberty Radio.com.
The Sons of Liberty is willing to do what it takes to ensure that you and your posterity remain in this blessed country full of the possibilities of liberty. However, our work cannot go on without you. We rely on the generosity of faithful listeners like you. We're asking you to become a son or daughter of liberty and partner with us financially. The future of our nation is depending on it. All donations are tax deductible. And with a gift of $50 or more, we'll send you a special Sons of Liberty message. Call 1-866-233-0747, 1-866-233-0747, or go online and donate at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings you responses like this.
This is first time that I've listened to your show, actually. I've heard snippets of it here and there, but I've never actually turned it on and listened to it. And I really appreciate your witness, just an unquestionable out there with Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful for your show and for your faith.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
OpticsPlanet.com is where discerning gun owners and outdoorsmen go to gear up. OpticsPlanet has the best selection of rifle scopes, red dots, night vision, holsters, bags, and tactical gear on the planet. With always low prices, free shipping on most orders, and expert customer service. Go to OpticsPlanet.com/GCN to get a free gift with purchase. That's OpticsPlanet.com/GCN. Or call 800-332-OPTICS. 800-332-6784.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Who is Sam Andy? Sam Andy Foods is life insurance in a can. Life insurance you can eat. Sam Andy Foods has been serving loyal customers worldwide for over 50 years. Why so long? Simple. Sam Andy Foods have perfected the taste and quality of low-moisture foods. Foods that last 15 to 25 years. And that's made us an industry leader among families, sportsmen, outdoorsmen, churches, schools, people living in remote areas, U.S. troops in wartime, and many others. Sam Andy is America's leading supplier of over 100 high-quality, low-moisture products and everything you need to survive in any emergency. Visit SamAndy.com today for your free full-color catalog and free trial subscription to the Survival Times newsletter. That's SamAndy.com. Just like it sounds, SamAndy.com. Or call toll-free 1-888-331-0358. Your one-stop shop for everything your family needs to prepare for any emergency. Sam Andy Foods. Life insurance in a can.
We're back with the Sons of Liberty. You can reach us here to call in live at 877-807-9977. That number again is 877-807-9977. I encourage you to stay tuned for next segment. We're going to have Mr. Gary Creep from, from the United States Justice Foundation. It's at usjf.net. Now, I want to break into this before we get him on the air with us. But first, I want to read to you a comment that we just got yesterday. This is an email. And, folks, we appreciate your feedback. When you please do send emails. Don't think about it. Just send them. It's great stuff. And it's great to let America hear that people are getting stirred up about these concepts. As I said at the beginning of the show, liberty's alive. That coal is always hot. And it will produce flames if you'll put your kindling in the fire with the Lord. Thank you for your show, he said. This is Tom. Not sure where he's emailing from. It has almost become a daily church sermon for me. I haven't been satisfied with any church in my community, as I feel they all speak to talking points not truly rooted in what it is to be a Christian, living in America, concerned for my family, community, and nation. But I will continue searching. You provide for this yearning. Point out verses to me to read and meditate on in the interim. Your show is helping me find out ways to break barriers to better voice my faith, beliefs, political thoughts, and feed my heart for that which this massive existence cannot provide. When I find I don't agree, well, it is okay, as I know the foundation from what you speak, and it is appreciated, and we are in agreeance, which is redundant because you cannot disagree with the truth. That's a great point. If you find yourself, you're just fighting against it. That's a great point, Tom. Thank you very much for your feedback, Tom. That was Tom. Again, I don't know where he was calling from. But I am glad because that is the very purpose. What he just said, I don't need to reiterate it, but what he said is the purpose that we're on the air. Get out and make disciples. Get out and read your Bible. Get out and find. Hey, if I'm wrong in anything that I'm saying, I thank God that you know what the difference between right and wrong is. And that's found and rooted in truth. God's Word. That's where you're going to find it, folks. That is where you're going to find it. Okay, now moving forward, I want to pick out a couple of verses here because we're talking about this concept of Obamacare. What does that have to do with Christianity? The Bible speaks of caring for widows and orphans and others in a number of places, okay? Deuteronomy 10:18. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. If you have any feedback on this topic, 877-807-9977. 877-807-9977. This is what God said. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and the widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. 1 Timothy 5 says, now the end of the commandment is charity. Notice that word charity. Is charity compelled or forced? Is charity compelled or forced? You got the answer, 877-807-9977. Because we need to differentiate the meaning of charity and whose jurisdiction that is, and force and whose jurisdiction that is. Charity is when they send around the offering plate and they ask for a tithe or an offering or a donation, etc. You're not being forced. You can be compelled out of the charity in your heart, freely compelled, out of love. I don't know what motivates you, but you're giving it freely. Now, the end of the commandment is charity. That's what the Bible says, out of a pure heart. You cannot say the end of the commandment is force, because it's not. Now, the commandment will execute justice on somebody who doesn't obey it by force, but that's not converting them. It may bring about conversion, but you cannot force. The end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. So we're talking about charity. That's the end of the commandment. What is charity? Well, to provide for needs of others, to help others, to exhort others. I mean, those all fall in line with charity, absolutely. Pure religion is and undefiled before God and the Father is this. This is James 1:27. To visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So here you have again, visiting the fatherless and the widows. Those that have no strength in their household, signifying a father or a husband, to help, to provide, to become a strength. That's not saying that women that are widows are weak. What it's saying is they're missing a component that really is helpful in life. And it was ordained to be that way. Same thing with a fatherless young man, a young woman. I don't know that you can find a fatherless young man that doesn't say, I wish I had a father that was there. They may say, I'm glad I didn't have my biological father around because he was a complete loser who walked out upon me and my mom. But I don't think that they would say, I'm glad I never had a father. It's often in verses such as these that those perpetrating a social gospel grab hold of this. Now, they've grabbed a hold of these verses that I've just read to you. And they say the government needs to do something. Government, now, government's jurisdiction is force. That's how they do things. Try it sometime. Just try to say, nah, you know what, Congress, I can't do that. I'm sorry. Nope. Can't do it. What's going to happen? They're going to force you to. Of course they are. It's their job. It's their jurisdiction. We need force in society to apprehend crime, criminals. They force. They don't ask. They're not charitable. Government wasn't meant to be charitable. It's not its jurisdiction. The church flourishes in charity. That is its jurisdiction. How many hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of dollars are raised on natural disasters across the world through charity? A willful compelling of the heart to give. When you start to force people, they start to hate the charity that they're being forced to give to. This misses the point that these actions were put forth to the church, as I just described. We can see that these verses apply to whom? Not government, the church, you, as a believer. Oh, well, I don't want that kind of responsibility. My church is too small. Freely you have received, freely give, Christ said to his disciples. Not to the government. When the government gets out of hand, Frederick Bastiat, I'm not sure how you pronounce his name, wrote a book called The Law. And you can start to see what you're dealing with, what we're dealing with right now in a lot of cases, is legalized crime. These people are thieves. Legislators. Thieving from the American people. It's called legal plunder. They use the law by force. They use the law by force to force you to do charity. Well, that destroys charity, because no longer is it charity. You're being forced to do it. But the church in that jurisdiction, oh yeah, that's what the church depends on. They're not forced. That's why they flourish. That's why they help. That's why you find that most liberals, if you will, liberal political folks, they don't give their own money. Okay, maybe some do. There's an exception to every rule, except for God's rule. I'm talking about man. Some liberals may give. I'm not going to argue and debate that. But by far, we did we covered this on a show that University of Vanderbilt did a study on this and showed it's conservatives giving. The liberals just want the power to force you to give, taking the charity out of it. Why does a conservative want to give? Because a conservative wants to conserve. He's moral. And generally moral people, their bowels constrain them to give. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 said, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he get health care, baby." No, the Bible says, neither shall he eat food stamps. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. Paul, the charitable brother that eventually gave his life for the cause of Christ and the sake of Christianity amidst a tyrannical government system, doesn't get any more liberal than that. He gave everything. And he says, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if you any would not work, they should not eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly," unlawfully, "working not at all. They're busybodies. They sit at home on the couch on their fat cracks, watching soap operas all day, collecting a check. Is that godly? Is that moral? Is that ethical?" Paul was dealing with it. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Oh, that's sacrilegious. No, it's in the Bible. Even in your offering. Deuteronomy 14. The Levite and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow were to be taken care of, but that was once every 3 years. There was limitations. To simply have a social program or a health care open to all with no stipulations is not biblical. And that's why the Sons of Liberty are talking about it today. We'll be right back here with guest Mr. Gary Creep from the United States Justice Foundation.
The My War documentary series is brought to you by the Sons of Liberty. This documentary takes you back to the foundations of who we are as a people and gives you insight into topics such as our founding fathers, what kids are being taught in public schools, abortion, drug abuse, Hollywood and the moral decline of our nation, and much more. Go to youcanruninternational.com, youcanruninternational.com, to purchase the My War documentary series today.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Attention gardeners, this is an urgent GCN self-reliance update. GCN has just discovered a new bioactive superfood for garden plants, flowers, and herbs. It's called ProtoGrow, and it's so effective at producing rapid plant growth that it seems to almost force plants to grow like crazy under practically any soil and light conditions. Now, here's the best part for our listeners who garden for self-reliance. ProtoGrow's unique blend of sea nutrients maximizes mineral uptake and dramatically increases bloom set, creating maximum plant growth in minimum time. ProtoGrow works by providing geometric keys which have the capacity to you actually unlock the genetic code for nutritional uptake in plants. ProtoGrow's full-spectrum plant fertility means fruits and vegetables with extraordinary taste and up to 10 times the nutritional value. And if you want to double or triple the potency of herbs or wheatgrass, you can. If you want to grow nutritionalized superfoods with non-hybrids, it's now easy. GCN listeners who want to grow dirt cheap superfoods should visit the ProtoGrow website at growlikecrazy.com. That's www.growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365.
Jason Lewis here. We talk daily about all the crazy stuff happening around the world, concerns with the economy, job loss, and natural disasters, just to name a few. Let me ask you, what are you doing to be prepared? How will you provide for your family in an emergency? Well, for my preparation, I recommend WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious, ready-made, freeze-dry meals that carry a 25-year shelf life, and you prepare them in minutes by simply adding water. Wise Food Storage entrees are packaged in individual metal Mylar pouches, then stored in convenient grab-and-go plastic containers for freshness and easy transport. Go to WiseFoodStorage.com today to request a free entree sample. And for a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get free shipping on any order. Call 855-FOOD-WISE. That's 855-366-3947. Or visit WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com. Gourmet emergency food at the best price.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. As I said and promised, this segment we have Mr. Gary Creep from the United States Justice Foundation. You can find him online at usjf.net. And this is what caused me to want to bring him on the show today to talk to you good folks. Obamacare, dead in the water now, unless Supreme Court picks up the case. And we need to understand the details involved in that. We just did a topical dissection of the biblical view of welfare and the biblical view of health care. Now, I can hear it in the background. You have our music on there. This happened to us yesterday, too. Gary, do you have it online?
No, I'm listening to you over the phone.
Perfect. Well, now we need to figure this out, because for some reason when we brought you in, we've got background noise. You got that, Carrie? Can we fix that?
I can barely hear you.
Okay. Folks are having a little bit of technical difficulties now. Why is that loop still happening? I don't know if we need to call back on a different line. Boy, I'm excited to tear into this, and here we've got technical difficulties. Okay, there we go, Gary. I think we've solved them, and then I almost spilt my water here in the studio. You got to see this, folks. It's pandemonium. I need a government-assigned assistant to help me from screwing up so many things. What do you think, Gary? Can you help me out with that? Thank you for being with us today, Mr. Gary Creep from the United States Justice Foundation, usjf.net. Tell me your background. What got you involved in this topic? I'm going to read this to you, Gary. This is what caused me to want to get you on the show. Obamacare dead in the water now unless Supreme Court picks up the case. What do you mean by that, and what's your background? Are they terrified of you on Capitol Hill right now because you understand the unconstitutionality of Obamacare?
Well, I don't know if they're terrified of me. I've been suing government entities for essentially my entire 35 years as an attorney. I got involved in politics in the Goldwater campaign in 64 and have been active ever since, including activities in a variety of U.S. Senate and congressional campaigns around the country.
Now, was there a good, there was a good conservative Christian I know that supported the Goldwater campaign. I think his last name was Reagan?
Yes, and I was on both, on the 1976-1980 delegations to the Republican National Convention supporting President Reagan.
Okay.
And I have worked, back 2 years ago, I worked for a number of months with his son, Michael,
sure.
to help establish the Ronald Reagan wing of the Checkpoint Charlie Museum in Berlin. My foundation invested over $30,000 in paying for an attorney in Berlin to help with all the bureaucratic opposition because the communists who control the city government there didn't like the idea. So,
got it. So you've got quite a track record now. We bring Gary on, not just because he's worked with Ronald Reagan. That's going to get us nowhere in heaven. But it does show us who he aligns himself with and the type of thought processes. Can you explain to us what's going on in Virginia and in Florida? And why is Obamacare dead right now, Gary?
Well, there's been three federal circuit courts of appeal that have ruled on Obamacare, and a fourth has said they can't rule till 2014, and I still haven't figured that one out.
Yeah, that one was kind of tricky.
Two of the U.S. circuit courts of appeal have approved Obamacare, and votes are strictly along philosophical lines. Republican appointees opposing it and Democratic appointees support to the courts supporting it. However, in the 11th Circuit Court of Appeal, which is the one that the Florida case was appealed to, in the trial court in that case, the court threw out the entire legislation, the whole thing. Obamacare was gone. The matter was appealed to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeal, and that court, in a rather unusual action, upheld the law but invalidated the mandate. Now, let me explain why it's unusual. In federal legislation and state legislation, there's standardly a clause that says if a court invalidates any part of this bill, then the rest of it goes on. In other words, it doesn't knock down the whole thing just because one small part of it's been overturned.
Sure.
Well, there was no such clause in Obamacare. And perhaps the reason for that was that Attorney General Holder, while testifying for Congress, said if the individual mandate goes down, the entire bill goes down because the bill cannot survive. Obamacare cannot survive without the individual mandate.
That's right.
And there was no severability clause. So technically, the 11th Circuit did not have the legal ability to invalidate the mandate, but uphold the law, the balance of the law. But they did it anyway, as unfortunately often courts do. They do what they dang well please. The interesting point, though, is that they did invalidate the mandate, and it was a 3-0 vote, and one of those voting against it was a Democratic appointee. So it
sure.
wasn't just the Republican appointees
yep.
who voted to invalidate it.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a great point that you bring, Gary. That's a very great point. Without that individual mandate, the rest of it's dead in the water. So how will it move forward?
Well, so now we have a situation where in one circuit, a U.S. Circuit Court of Appeal, the geographic area covered by that, which is essentially the southeastern part of the country, Florida, Alabama, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Obamacare is dead in the water. The individual mandate has been declared null and void.
Awesome.
And two of the circuit courts of appeal out of, if I remember correctly, the 11, the mandate has been upheld. And in the rest of them, the challenges either have not been made or they haven't gotten to that to the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeal.
Sure.
So we have what's called a split in the circuits. That's how it's referred to in United States Supreme Court parlance.
Okay.
And when there is a split in the circuits, when different circuits have ruled differently about the same issue, that is one of the main grounds for the U.S. Supreme Court to hear the case.
Sure.
Now, the National Federation of Independent Businessmen have already appealed the 11th Circuit decision to the U.S. Supreme Court. They want the entirety of Obamacare thrown out, not just the part of it that has the individual mandate, because there's a lot of other bad things in Obamacare that could go forward,
yeah.
even if they can't fund the main parts of it.
That's correct.
And so what's now happening is that there's jockeying going on.
One of the interesting points, and part of this is my own personal speculation, but one of the interesting points is that it was widely believed that the Obama administration would request the 11th Circuit to do what's called an en banc review. Now, what that means is that standardly, when a case goes to a U.S. Circuit Court of Appeal, a three-judge panel rules on the issue, which is what happened here in the 11th Circuit. But the parties have the option of requesting the entire 11th Circuit. And forgive me, I don't know how many judges are there right now, somewhere in 20-some, right around 20, but I don't remember the exact number. It was expected that the Obama administration, in fact, it was widely discussed that the Obama administration was going to appeal or request an en banc review, thereby putting off until after the 2012 election any ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court on this issue.
Now, would that be good or bad? I'm thinking that might actually be good.
Well, here's where it gets a little bit in my speculation. Let me finish this little part.
Sorry.
I was on the phone the other day with the Attorney General for the state of Utah, which was one of the lead states in the lawsuit in Florida.
Sure.
And he said that the states were going to, since the Obama administration blew its time frame for asking for an en banc review, in other words, they didn't make the request in time, they now have no option except to appeal to the United States Supreme Court unless they want Obamacare or at least the individual mandate invalidated in the 11th Circuit.
Okay.
So they're locked into either to appealing it because they're certainly not going to allow the ruling invalidate the mandate to stand even in part of the country because it destroys Obamacare, at least in that part of the country.
Yep.
So he was saying that based upon the meetings that they've been having, and I'm not sure if he should have been saying this, but he did, he was saying that the case is going to be heard sometime next year, and there will be a decision issued by June of next year before the election. And so it started me thinking, Mr. Obama, the conventional wisdom has been that Mr. Obama wanted to put off any potential disaster, judicial disaster for Obamacare until after the election, so he could continue with his class warfare theory of, you know, he is representing the poor people against all the terrible white people and all the terrible rich people. Although the head of Black Entertainment Network has recently been criticizing Mr. Obama for doing that.
That's right.
He shouldn't be just attacking people just because they've made some decent money in their lives. But anyway, so I started thinking about why would he set it up so that the matter is going to be decided before the next election, and it also became very clear to me. I don't know if God led me into this or what happened. I believe God does all things, and God leads me where he wants, so I'm guessing it was God. But the idea came into my head from somewhere that Obama probably wants Obamacare decided before the next election, because if he's successful, if Obamacare is upheld, and I don't think it will be, but if Obamacare is upheld, then he could say, oh, look how wonderful I am. Look what I've done for all you poor folks. I'm your leader. I've gotten you this free health care, blah, blah, blah. And if it's overturned, he'll continue a campaign theme that he's already been running on.
That's right. Yeah.
And
they hate us.
A dual campaign. Number one, he's running against Congress. His speeches on the campaign trail so far have indicated he's running against what he calls a do-nothing Congress. Now, that's interesting because his party controls the U.S. Senate, has for his entire time in office. His party controlled the House for two of the 3 years he's been in office.
Yep.
So his party has been in control, yet they're doing nothing, but he's trying to blame the Republicans.
Gary, I need a yes or no answer from you on this question. I've got 30 seconds to the break. The power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Does the 10th Amendment come into play with Obamacare?
Yes.
Is he violating the 10th Amendment? Is this administration violating the 10th Amendment?
I think he's violating much of the Constitution on a whole variety of levels.
Okay, so for sure we can start with the 10th Amendment. How do folks get in touch with you? Again, Gary, we're just about to break.
www.usjf.net.
Thank you so much for your information. It was very helpful having you on the air to discuss this stuff. Again, that was Gary Creep from the United States Justice Foundation, usjf.net.
Hi, this is Michael Anthony Peruca for Institute on the Constitution. As a former presidential candidate for the Constitution Party, I believe it's critically important to the cause of liberty that all Americans be well-versed not only in the words of the Declaration of Independence and the United States Constitution, but in the biblical principles on which they are based. In light of vast government lawlessness, there are many of us who have decided to do all we can to try to reinvigorate the American culture with these critical American principles, and we were hoping that you would like to join us. To that end, the Sons of Liberty are sponsoring a 12-week Constitution course beginning Tuesday, November 29th. The location will be the Jesus People Church, located just west of Maple Grove. The cost is $240 for individuals or families, and the value is priceless. Contact us at 866-233-0747. That's 866-233-0747. Or go to sonsoflibertyradio.com. That's sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Life Before the Collapse. Vinyl LP by the Las Vegas. The Collapse, Vinyl LP, by the Las Vegas. Life Before the Collapse, by the Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah. This girl,
why don't woman... On 180-gram vinyl, and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall. Now available at Amazon.com.
Do you live where ice storms, blizzards, tornadoes, floods, earthquakes, or hurricanes occur? Who doesn't? Well, most of us do, and when they occur, one of the first things to happen is the power goes out. When Hurricane Irene hit, over 5 million homes were without power. Just having light around the house becomes very important. Arm yourself with the new 50-hour emergency candle in a can. Just pull the pop-top lid, the matches are safe inside, and light up the candle for 50 hours of continuous light. The candle and matches are together when you need them the most. Emergency light that has an indefinite shelf life, always ready and won't go dead like batteries. 50-hour emergency candles are $7.95 each or four for $28. Call toll-free 1-855-485-8555, 855-485-8555, or order online at candlesincans.com. One more time, that's 855-485-8555, or visit us at candlesincans.com.
I'm pretty.
You can do music. Hey, we're back. Again, we just had Mr. Gary Creep from the United States Justice Foundation, USJF.net. Very educated man on this Obamacare, and I encourage you to follow him as he follows it through. Because he's doing it for the sake of you and our posterity, folks. Again, we just said at the end, we squared it up, the Tenth Amendment. It's violating the Tenth Amendment. Not to mention the thesis. Remember when we spoke before, the thesis, Article 1, Section 8, not there! The president wanted to create a constitutional amendment, which he couldn't because nobody would go for it. He wanted to create a constitutional amendment to put health care as one of the things that Congress has the ability to tax and spend for. That is the individual mandate. We just got done talking to you, man. Well, I just quoted scriptures, number of them, two segments ago. We need to move on. We're going to move on. We are going to move on. I've cleaned up the water in the studio. Everything is good. Major Democratic fundraiser at Van Jones, Take Back the American Dream Conference. The American Dream is totally about sharing. I just want you to listen to her, okay? This is a woman at the Van Jones Take Back the American Dream Conference. Now, we've discussed and covered a lot of Van Jones different things. I personally find the most appalling one is when he had the little children getting on, giving the 10 steps for a greater America. But this woman is a major Democratic fundraiser. Let's listen to what she has to say. This is the cloth. This is a cut of the cloth of the people that are at this Take Back the American Dream Conference. They've taken out time from their busy schedules Oh, what do you, they don't have jobs? That's why they can come? Oh. You know, I heard a joke the other day. Who are those? I'm going to use this. Who are those that went back to the Take Back American Dream Conference? That wouldn't work. Let's play your clip. Go ahead.
I'm here with Ann Hess. How are you today?
I'm pretty good. This is really fabulous, this conference.
What brought you to the conference?
I've been a supporter of the Institute for America's Future ever since it got started. I've come to every one of these conferences.
What so America, folks?
Here because they're having it again.
Now tell me where you're from again.
New York.
Were there any of the grassroots, the in-home meetings happening in your community?
There were. I wasn't able to go to them, but Move On has been doing a lot of organizing in our neighborhood.
Tell me about some of the activism that you're currently involved in.
I'm involved in raising money for progressive Democratic candidates on the state, city, and federal level at the moment.
Tell me what your idea is of the American dream.
I think that health care, education, and housing are all human rights.
Hold on to that thought. So what brought you to this? Well, I'm currently a... What do you do for work? Well, I don't know if you want me to say that on camera. I mean, let's just say I help fundraise for liberals. I don't know. It's a great conference. Did you pay to get in the conference? Well, you don't want me to say that on camera either. But I believe, she says, healthcare, education, and housing are all human rights. Folks, you got the right to healthcare. Go get some. You've got the right to education. Get one. You've got the right to housing. Buy one. But she wants to see that opportunity and right. Let's keep going. What does she want to see with it? Go ahead. Tell us.
And my American dream is to see that opportunity and that right be met for all American families.
Okay. The right needs to be met. Hey, we just talked about what is the church's duty? Looking out for the strangers, the fatherless. Pure religion undefiled is this. Visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. He that doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and the widow and loves the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Deuteronomy 10:18. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of good conscience and of faith unfeigned. 1 Timothy 5. Okay? She wants to see this carried out, this dream of health care, education, and housing. Oh! I can hear Amazing Grace playing in the background right now! So what is her plan? How is she going to carry this out? She must be an elder in a church. Maybe she's a pastor. Maybe she serves in her church as a vestry woman. I'm not sure. Let's hear. How is she going to do this? Go ahead.
Where do we start with trying to attain some of those things?
Changing the tax code.
Oh, wait. The tax code? That must have been an accident. She didn't mean to say the tax code. She meant to say the tithing code. The giving to charities in our country. We need to stimulate folks to give to nonprofits and churches so that we can make sure that everybody can have health care, education, and housing. That's what she meant to say, right?
Changing the tax code and changing rules and regulations that...
Changing rules and regulations? Rules and regulations, that sounds like government rhetoric. Taxes. Churches don't charge taxes. The government charges taxes. The government regulates. Wait a minute. This American dream seems phony to me. Is that how we got great?
Because what happened, the founding fathers got together and beat the snot out of the King of England and his armies. And then all of a sudden, out of the ground grew a money tree. And on the bottom of it was a crest that said, the American Civil Government. And on this tree, all Americans are free to pluck dollar bills 24 hours a day, 6 days a week, because they have to take off Sunday. But for 6 days, you pluck that money, folks.
She must have been reading a revisionist history book. Okay, now we've already determined and understood. Let's just let her keep talking.
keep corporations in doing right by the citizens of this country. Healthcare isn't a privilege. Housing isn't a privilege. Decent education isn't a privilege. It's a right. But there has to be a
here it
leveling.
Is. A what?
And there has to be a sharing of the wealth. There
oh,
has to,
sure.
You know, there has to be much more equal distribution of wealth in this country to make that happen.
Oh, my goodness! Can you even believe she's saying that? I mean, most people try to keep that part a secret. She's saying it! She got a copy of the playbook at Van Jones's American Dream, Take Back American Dream Conference. She got a copy of it and whoops! She said it on camera. This is what's really going on. Corporations need to be fair. What does the Bible say about greedy corporations and corporate people? You have despised the poor, the Bible says to his church. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. Who is James talking to? The church! So to me, the church is going to be our biggest bulwark and defense when the church is being the church. Many folks say they're the church, but they're not acting as the church. Is going to be the biggest defense for the poor. And going to be the biggest one to call to account rich, corporate, greedy people. Oh, yeah. There's the Bible again. Oh, the Bible doesn't fit in that playbook that Mr. Van Jones handed out. The Bible doesn't fit in this administration's playbook. But I heard Obama say, God bless you, to the Black Caucus the other day. Oh, that's a different God. Not a God in the Bible, because we've also heard him make fun of the, insult the Bible. Boy, oh boy. Is there sense and logic to the end of this? This isn't an argument. I've given you plain scriptural context. We can say the things that she's saying, but she always wants to grab hold of the government to be the savior. Folks, that is why we are in the predicament we are in America. Now, answers! Sons of Liberty will always bring you answers. How do we get out of the predicament? We turn to the God that has blessed us with the liberty and the ability to get out of a bad situation. It's called turning to Him. Turning to Him in truth. I don't want to read the typical scripture, but everybody goes to Chronicles. If my people are called by my name. People, there's your answer. It's easy. Have a conference on that, Van Jones. Let's send America the answers. Turning to the God of heaven who gave us the liberty that we have in this nation. He will make sure that it remains great because it's His name on the line. And He doesn't fail His name. He is sure to vindicate His name, Sons of Liberty listeners. Thank you very much for tuning in. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Have an awesome afternoon.
And we are the sons. Yes, we are the sons.